So today is the 28th of October, 22nd of Cheshvan, Parshat Chaye Sara. I'm very excited about this class.
Yeah, me too. Wait a second, it was my son's bar mitzvah parasha.
Oh, nice.
Can you hit record?
Yep, I'm recording. Okay, so we're only going to look at three psukim, one at a time. We're going to look at the first two psukim, and we're going to look at one of the last psukim in this parsha. Okay, so the first pasuk. Ve'yu chaye sara me'ash shana ve'esrim shana ve'sheva shanim shnei chaye sara. So Sarah's lifetime, the span of Sarah's life, came to 127 years, which this translation is terrible. It's sometimes translations are trying to be readable as opposed to literal. So the literal translation is, these are the years of Sarah, 100 years, and 20 years, and 7 years, the years of the life of Sarah. That's really an awful translation. It skips the whole purpose of it. Okay, so you might be familiar with the Rashi on this, about why all of her life is divided. I just want to point out, so there are a select few people who were told the age of their death, and it is actually elongated and spelled out like this, like when you go back to elementary school and you had to learn about the hundreds place and the tens place and the ones place, right? So that's what this is. So there are other people, so I just wanted to show you. I didn't include it in the source sheet. Oh, how do I get rid of this? Sorry. Okay. So here is Avraham's life at the end of the parsha. And you can see it's also spelled out, Me'at shana v'shiv'im shana v'chameh shanim. But missing there is what we have at the end of Sarah's life, her pasuk, Shnei chaye Sarah. Okay? And then just to show you, we also have
Yishmael,
right. So here we are.
Here it is.
17.
Yeah, you got it
okay.
Now, yeah.
Okay, right. Okay. And then he dies and he's collected to his people. So nobody has this repetition of Shnei Chaye that Sarah has. Okay, so instead of doing the Rashi, I liked the Midrash where I think Rashi got it from. So it says, Vayhi Chaye Sarah Me'ah Shana Ma Ra'a Lomar Kol Kach Shana Shana Shanim. So he's quoting the Shana, and then the last one is Shanim, because this is in modern Hebrew also, I think in less than 10, you use actually the plural word of shanim, but anything more than 10, you just use one unit of shana. So he's quoting that, shana, shana, shanim. Ela bat mea shana kebat esrim lenoi. So when she was 100, she was 20 for beauty. Rashi actually does the opposite here. Bat esrim shana shavta lebat sheva biyofi. So when she was 20, she was like a 7-year-old in a different kind of beauty. So Rashi says like a 20-year-old for sin, because we all get our sins erased when we're 20 years old, even though we can be held culpable for whatever sin we commit after bar bat mitzvah by lower human courts. Hashem doesn't hold us culpable until we're 20, which is really cool how that works with modern psychology. But that's not the shir today. Shnei chaye sarah, so this repetition, shekach haita chayaha, this was her life. V'kulan avru besimcha uvesason, and all of it passed with happiness and joyfulness. Now, we have seen over the past few weeks of learning about Sarah that that's not true, that she struggled in her life and had tremendous struggles and conflicts. But I think when you live a full life, you can see the purpose of everything, and sort of goes along with the idea that when Mashiach comes, will be able to say the bracha of hatov v'hametiv, of recognizing the goodness in everything, even the things that were tragic and horribly bad, will be able to see the goodness of them. So that is the end of Sarah's life. Okay, so now we're going to go into some commentaries. So, and I put little biographies because I'm using a lot of commentaries that I don't usually use at the end. I think you all saw. I think because there's so many of them, I'm not going to give you the background as we read them. You can read them yourselves. Vayu chaye Sarah, and it was the life of Sarah. En derech lichtov mitat hanashim. So in addition to the unusual way that Sarah's years are written out with regard to other men who've passed away, the Bechor Shur is commenting here that we don't really have not only the years, how old the women were when they die, but we don't have a lot of accounts of women dying in the Tanakh. Afilu tzadkaniyot, even righteous women, imlo al yedei ma'aseh, if not for the fact that it's because of some other incident that happened. Sharei lo matzino rak b'sara v'rachel v'devora meineket rivka. We only know about the deaths of Sarah and Rachel and Devorah, who we first see in this week's parsha, who accompanies Rivka to the house of Avraham to marry Yitzchak. We know about her death. Umiriam al histakut habe'er. And Miriam, it's only because of the removal of the water that after Miriam dies, there's no water in the camp, and they complain. Sarah al shahodi anu ich kana kvora b'danim yikarim. So Sarah.
Their computer or something.
Oh yeah, somebody's making. If everyone wants to mute. Okay, and Sarah, the only reason why seemingly we learn about her death is because it causes Avram to buy this property for very expensive value. Behu echad min hanisyonot, and this was one of Avraham's 10 tests that he had to go through. V'devora, lehodi anu lama nikra shem hamakom elon bachot. Devora, we need to learn about her death to inform us for how that place becomes named the Tree of the Cryings, plural, because it's inferred from there that that's when Rivka also died, but we don't hear explicitly about Rivka's death. And Rachel, we need to learn about her death to learn why she's not buried in the cave with all the other imahot and avot. Umihu, nevertheless, shnotam lo nimnu levad misara. Only Sarah, hi Liz, and hi Monique, I didn't say hi, only Sarah's years are delineated. So we learn about the deaths of these other women, which is unusual to begin with, but Sarah, not only do we learn about her death, but we learn the exact age of her death, and they're delineated in this special, unique way. Shehi chashuva mikulam, because she is the most important of all of them. Mea shana, derech ha-pasuk, lomar shana v'shanim, l'chol cheshbon v'cheshbon. So then he explains that the way that it's spelled out, like this elongated, is just the way of the pasuk to say. And he then says how we also learn that in Yishmael. So he doesn't comment on the extra part at the end of the pasuk of Shnei Chaye Sarah. He's just commenting on the unusualness of giving a woman's death to begin with, and then also giving how old she was when she died, and how that spells out the uniqueness of Sarah Imenu and how special she was. Okay, now the Haktav v'Hakabalah, 19th century. I just learned, actually, when I put in his biography, that he was friends with the Malbim. You all know how much I love the Malbim. And that they worked together to dispute all of the controversy surrounding biblical criticism going on in the 19th century. And you can read more about him in the biography. So, Shnei Chaye Sarah. Hit orveru hamefarshim al yitur marmar zeh. So the exegetes were awakened on the superfluousness of this phrase. So he's going to quote, focus specifically on Shnei Chaye Sarah. Shekvar hikdim vayu chaye Sarah. The pasuk is introduced with, and these were the years, the life of Sarah. V'nira li, sheyodi anu bezeh, ma'aleh gdola v'nifla'a shel Sarah imenu. So we are being informed through this last seemingly superfluous phrase of the greatness and height and wonderment of Sarah, our mother. Vize. So now he's going to explain what it is. Ha'adam lema'alato al kol hanivraim, mitzad harkavato michomer ha'afar v'hanefesh haruchani. So why is man the most elevated of all creations? It's because of the compound of the dust, the material dust, and the spiritual soul. Yesh lo ma'ale alehem. He has a heightened status among them, among the other creations. Mitzad hanhagato et atzmo. From the way that he behaves with himself. Ki kol bruei mata enam chayim rak chaye gashmi. All of the worldly creations, they only live a physical life. V'habruim ha'elyonim chayim haruchani lavad. And the spiritual entities, angels and the like, they only live a spiritual existence. Aval ha'adam miyuad kol zeh hayito lichyot chayim kfulim. But man is destined to live a double life. I love this. We're never going to look at the idea of a double life the same way again. Chiyut gashmi v'chiyut ruchni, a physical life and a spiritual life. Kimin hatzorach elav lahashkiach tamid al divrim hanitzrachim al chai gufani. Because man always will be necessary for him to pay attention and to oversee all the things he needs in order to live a physical life. Ke'achila, shtia, shena, eating, drinking, sleeping. Gam l'kol divrim ha'amtzaim shehem hachana l'kiyum gufo. And all of the intermediary things that he needs to establish his body. Kamo avodat adam v'iskav, the work of man, his business dealings, masa umatan, that's what mem v'mem stands for. I know that because that's what my husband did in Israel. So negotiating all of his business dealings. She'enam rak mitzad tzarchei olam haza belvad. Those things are only for his life in this world. Gam min hachiyuv alav lichiyot chiyut haruchani mitzad nafsho ha'elyona. He also has an obligation to live a spiritual life from the aspect of his higher soul. Behu ha'esek bi'inyanim ruchniim. And this is dealing with spiritual matters. Kamo ha'iyun b'torah u'bikiyum mitzvotaha. Like looking into Torah and doing its mitzvot. V'shnei minei ha'chayim ha'elu. Ha'ela ha'miyuadim l'chol adam, mitzad heyoto mufchar habriya. So these two aspects of these lives that are destined to every man from the aspect of his being the most choice of the creations. Tzuchim liot agudim achuzim. They need to be tightened together. We call what we, when we hold the lulav and all the other things, that's an aguda also. Venitzmadim, and tight, yachad, together. Lo yitzpardu le'olam, they should never separate. Ki gam be'isko, be'inyanei tzarchei gufo, lo yiyatachlit ha'mechaven mimenu rak tzarchei olam hazeh. It can't be that whatever he does in this world, in matter of taking care of his body, that the sole purpose will be for this world. Aval tzarich, shiyidluha alav to'elet ruchniyoto. He needs to hang on them a spiritual benefit, v'nafsho, shehem chaye olam haba, which would relate to the next world. Ki im tiyat isko be'achila shtia v'halicha v'yeshiva v'kima v'tashmish v'sicha l'tzarchei gufo lovad, l'hanat atzmo v'lahashlamat chavtso v'tavato lovad, because if it will be that all of his dealings with eating, drinking, walking, sitting, getting up, sex, talking, that for the needs of his body only, for his own enjoyment and for the fulfillment of his desires, and another word for desires alone, hine hu mitdameh el habrim hapichutim mimenu b'madrega. Then he is basically living a beastly life. He resembles those creations that are lower than him in level. El ha-bihaymot v'chayot she'ina mit'askim rak b'tzorchei gufam levad. He resembles the animals and the beasts that only deal with their needs of their body only. Aval min ha-chiyuv lo, liot oved et bor'o tamid. But from his obligation, man's obligation, to be a servant of his creator always, gam v'isko b'tzorchei gufo, also in his business dealings and the needs of his body, be'achila, with eating, it's to make his body healthy so that he'll be worthy to do the work of his creation. B'sheina, letet legufo minucha, letzorach habriyut shelo, shelo titaref alav dato, machmat miniyat hasheina. Sleep is to give his body the rest that it needs to be healthy so that his brain won't become weak because he doesn't sleep. I just have to interrupt this with something funny that one of my sons, Rebbeim at Gush, says. He is a big proponent that you need 8 hours of sleep. So some of the boys don't want to sleep. They just want to learn all the time. So they said, but what about so-and-so and so-and-so who the myths say they only got, 2 hours of sleep a night or whatever, like the Vilna Gaon. So the rabbi says, just think what the Vilna Gaon would have accomplished had he gotten 8 hours of sleep. Okay, so we need sleep. Klal Hadavar, the general principle, Ha'adam mitzad ma'alato. Tzarich tamid lishkol b'mazne sichlo, l'tzaref tachlit nafshi v'ruchani b'kol tashmish she artzim v'gufanim. So the general principle is that a man, from the aspect of his high level, he always needs to weigh and balance his intellect to refine the purpose of his spiritual soul in all of the ways that he serves the physical and the material. Ki rak v'derech zeh memalei ha-tachlit ha-mechuvan b'harkavat gashmioto im ruchnioto. Because it's only in this way that he fills his intended purpose in the complexity of his physical and his spiritual. Im yitzaref inyan haruchani v'nafshi gam be'iskei gufani gashmi. If he refines the matters of his spiritual and soul with his physical and material dealings. Ve'adam hanimna milasum lev al shnei minei achayim ba'ela, and the one who refuses to pay attention to these two aspects of life, ve'eino mashgiach rak b'iskei inyanim artzim, and he's only paying attention to the physical matters, af shehu chai, even though he's alive, En chiyoto rak mitzad gufo. He's only alive from the aspect of his body. Ukechaye habehema, and he's like an animal. Aval hu meit mitzad nishmato. But he's dead from the aspect of his soul. Kemamaram, like the rabbis say, harishaim bechayehem kruim meitim. Wicked people in their lifetime are called dead. I never really understood that until now, because they are dead with regard to their soul. Mivuar mizeh ki ha'osher ha'amiti la'adam hu bioto chai chayim kfulim. So it's explained from this that true happiness for man comes from leading a double life. Chaye haguf im chaye nafshi. The life of the body with the life of the soul. Mitasek bi'inyanei gashmi bekavanat to'elet ruchani. That he deals with his physical life with the intent of it benefiting his spirituality. Ve'al derech zeh hu chaye olam hazeh mitzuraf im chaye olam haba. And through this, his life in this world is joined together with the life in the afterworld. Ve'zehu sheheida ha-Torah al sara imenu. And this is what the Torah testifies to Sarah, our mother, shebekol meshech zman amidata be'aretz ha'neshama halazo, that the entire time that she lived in this land with this soul, hayta chaya chayim kfulim hanizkarim, she lived this double life that we spoke about. V'zehu she'amar ha'katuv, and this is why the pasuk says, Shnei Chaye Sarah. Anybody want to say what just happened here? Shnei Chaye Sarah. It's actually not good grammar.
It's not that it's the years of Sarah, but that it's 2 years,
exactly.
Like 2 lives of Sarah.
Exactly. So I actually, there's a little phrase. It basically says that in Yiddish here. Das Zvicha Le'avan Sarahs. The 2 lives of Sarah. So it's not good grammar, because I asked my colleague at Kohelet if he knew the Yiddish. He knew enough of it. And he said it's very Hasidish, because it would have said Shtei Chaye Sarah, the 2 lives of Sarah. But we can understand it because it's so deep and so beautiful and such a lesson for all of us of how to live a double life. Ratzon lomar, that is to say, Shelo haita chiyuta chiyut gufi levad. Her life was not the life of the body alone. Aval hayta mitzuraf alav gam chiyut haruchani. She joined it with her spiritual life. Lefiza milat shnei sham lemispar hazugi. And therefore we can understand that word shnei as the number of the pair. V'zeh she'amar beriba ma tzarich lomar shnei chayesara be'achrona. And now we can understand why it repeats it at the end, shnei chayesara. לומר לך שחביב חייהם של צדיקים לפני המקום בעולם הזה ובעולם הבא. To tell you that the lives of the righteous people are beloved to God both in this world and in the next world. והדברים מכוונים עם מה שאמרנו. And these are the intentions of the words of what we said. Okay, I feel like we could even stop. You could all go home now because that was so beautiful and so powerful. I can't believe I never found it before. Okay, moving on to Pasuk Bet. So, Vatamat Sarah Bekirat Arba, Hi Chavron. Sarah died in Kiryat Arba. This is Chevron. This is why I think thousands of people descend on Chevron for this Shabbos. And the people in Chevron, the Jewish community, opens up their houses for Shabbos Parshat Chayi Sarah. Be'eretz Canaan, in land of Canaan. Ve'yavo Avram lispod l'Sarah ve'lif kota. And Avram came. This says proceeded here in the translation because it's a big question. It could probably be a whole different share of where Avram's coming from. We're not talking about it. So Avram, it says preceded instead of came because we don't know where he came from. Lispod, you probably know the word hesped, a eulogy. So it says here to mourn, but to eulogize Sarah. Veliv kota, and I'm very proud of myself that I remembered to make this kaf really little because that's how it appears in the Torah. And to cry for her. Okay, so we're going to see a lot of questions on this pasuk. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. We're going to read it in the commentaries. So first, the Rosh. I have a couple. The first two commentaries here are to give you kind of a balanced view as opposed to my biased view of how great Sarah is. So they're going to be a little bit of a downer, these first two ones. So Vayivo Avram lispod l'Sara v'liv kota. He came to eulogize her and to cry for her. Kaf ketana, this small little letter kaf. Lefi hapshat. Zikena haita, v'lo bachu ata kol kach. Why is it a little teeny kaf? Because she was old, and he didn't cry so much for her. They lived a long life. He wasn't so sad. And the Baal HaTurim, who's the Rosh's son. So, v'liv kota, kaf ketana, he comments on the little kaf. Shelo bacha ela ma'at, lefishas kena haita. So he quotes his father, and he says, because it's small kaf, because he didn't cry so much since she was so old. Inami, alternatively, Lefisha Garma Mitata Shamasra Din. Maybe it's because she actually caused her own untimely early death because she transferred Din. This is something that we spoke about 2 weeks ago, I think. Ve'alkin Ne'ensha, and therefore she was punished. Hi Tchila, she was punished first. So when did that happen? When she said Hashem should judge between me and you, when Hagar was not being nice to her. And by claiming a judgment on another person in this world, she gets judged first. And that is why she was supposed to live, according to this midrash that he's quoting, to be the same age as Avraham, but her life was taken first. V'amabed etzmo l'da'at en masvidin oto. And a person who commits suicide knowingly, that's what he's comparing it to, we don't eulogize them. So, of course, nowadays we recognize suicide or causing your own death as a mental illness, and we treat them just like we treat anybody else who dies, and they're buried in the regular graveyard and all those things, because we have a different understanding of mental health now. Okay, so that was a downer. Now we're ready to come back up. So the Kli Yakar, so he is actually one of the predecessors of the Malbim in Prague. Vayavo Avram lispod l'sara v'liv kota. So Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. Milat l'sara hichnis ben hadvakim. This is something I never noticed before. The word l'sara is placed in between these two actions. It should be lispod v'liv kota l'sara. Ki hayalo lomar lispod v'liv kota l'sara. That's what he's saying. Gam kulo miutar. And the whole thing is really superfluous. Ki hayalo lomar lispod. Softa v'liv koda. We don't need Sarah's name there at all. It could have just said to eulogize her and to cry for her. It's the beauty of Hebrew that you put all your suffixes and prefixes and you don't need to use any proper nouns. Gam b'kol makom habechi kodem lehesped. V'kan muchlefet hashita. And not only that, but here it's a really weird order. Who, when they lose a loved one, has first... They eulogize, and then they cry. You would expect it to be the opposite order. Crying first, and then eulogizing. B'komakom shlosha lebechi shiv'a lehespit. And we even have in Moed Katan where it's discussing the halacha of mourning, that the first 3 days are usually more intense and you're crying, and the shiv'a, you use the remainder of the sitting shiva to eulogize. Crying always comes first. V'nir'eh l'fi shebekol meit ha'evel holech u'mitma'et ki berabot hayamim hakol nishkach. And it seems that with any type of death, the mourner continuously lessens as the days increase, the mourning, because everything is forgotten. With the multiplicity of days, everything's forgotten. Time heals all wounds. It's an expression for that. Omnam tzadeket zo, b'kol yom v'yom, hirgishu bioter b'he'edar shela. This righteous woman, every day, her absence was felt even more. Mitzad he'eder torata u'ma'aseha hatovim she'ne'avdu l'dora, from the aspect of the absence of her Torah, I love that, her Torah and her good deeds that were lost to her generation. Al kein hikdim ha-hespid lebechi. Therefore, the eulogy came before the crying, because Avram didn't realize the extent of her absence until time went on. The Odam Ruchazal, and our rabbis also say, kol mi shemita ishto rishana, anybody who loses his first, whose first wife dies, ki ilu charav beit hamikdash biyamav. It's as if the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed in his days. Al kein, mitchila ba lispod lesara ba'avara. Therefore, in the beginning, he came to eulogize Sarah for her own sake. Aval lo bacha aleha. But he didn't cry for her. Ki yada she'alta la lemarom. Because he knew that she had gone up to the highest heights. Lamakom yakar v'nichbad ma'asher hayta bo ba'aretz. Mafelazo, to this honorable, precious place from wherever we are in this dark world, which is a quote, not an exact quote, from Yirmiyahu. Ve'acharkach bacha al beit hamikdash shenichrav b'yamav. And afterwards, he cried for the Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed in his days. Ki gam malchei shalom mar yivchuyen al chorbato. Even the angels of peace, they cried bitterly on its destruction. V'kein darshu alav, and that's how they made the drash on it, b'pasuk, v'damua tidme enai, of this crying eyes with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. V'alkein, hifsik b'milat l'sara, and that's why the two words, lispod, eulogize, and lifkota, cry, are separated with the word l'sara, l'fi shehabechi, Haya al shenid melo ki ilu nichrav hamikdash beyamav, because the crying was because it appeared to him as if the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed in his lifetime. Asher haya gavohu mea ama, whose height of the Beis HaMikdash was 100 ama. Al kein ba haramez bekaf ketana, and therefore a hint came in this little letter kaf. And I was very confused here. It took me a while to figure it out. I thought that the Kli Yakar didn't know how to do math. Ki kaf ola mea. Because kaf, he says, goes up to mea. We all know kaf is 20. But spelled out, kaf is 20 and pei is 80. So that equals 100. That's how he did the math. V'ratza lomar ki ilu nitma'atu otan mea ama v'nasu ktani. And he wanted to say that it's as if those 100 mea that the Beit HaMikdash stood were shrunk and made to be smaller. V'zev remez yakar. And this is a precious hint. Okay, so that's why we have Lasara. That's why we have the Hesped first and then the crying, and what it was like for Avram to go through there. Dvar Acher, he gives another explanation. Shehizkir l'sara lomar l'cha she'al atzmuta lo hispid. So another reason why it says l'sara is to show you that on her essence he didn't eulogize. Ki yada she'rak ha'rav shimsha haya ba'olam haza aval ochelet hi b'trumat pri ma'aseha l'olam haba. Because he knew that her son was simply setting. And that if you imagine the ancient perspective that the sun is revolving around the earth, So her sun was setting, going someplace else, and she was going to take everything she had in this world and eat the fruits of it in the next world. Rak al shma hispid. So he wasn't eulogizing her essence because she was going to be fine, but he was eulogizing her name. Ki haita Sara al kol ha'olam bechokhmata. Because she, remember what Sara means, princess, rulership, she ruled the entire world with her wisdom. Ve'oi l'dora she'avdu svara zo. And woe to her generation. One of the reasons I'm so excited about this is just the feminine aspect of it. Woe to her generation that lost this powerfulness, this power, this leadership. It's so interesting because the word svara is something that gets thrown around with women in leadership positions and why women can't have it, because they can't have this power over men. But here we're giving this power to Sara and what she had over the entire generation. Mitzad chokhmata u'maaseha, from the aspect of her wisdom and her actions. Aval livkota b'cha b'chi katan, but he cried just a little cry. Mitzad shetzadeket haita, because she was completely righteous. And she was satisfied with just a small portion of nachat in her hand. Therefore, they eat in this world and they inherit the next world. And then he quotes a pasuk from Shmuel about how the enemies are placed in a sling and flung out, and she has nothing to do with that. Okay, and then the very end of her and Avraham's life, we have this beautiful image, which read it in English. It's from Baba Batra. Rabbi Banai was marking burial caves for the purpose of helping to prevent the contracting of ritual purity. When he arrived at the cave of Avraham, he encountered Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, who was standing before the entrance. Rabbi Banai said to him, "What is Abraham doing?" Eliezer said to him, "He is lying in the arms of Sarah, and she is examining his head." You can imagine this beautiful, intimate moment of the two of them as they're reunited in the next world. Okay, good. I have time. So now we have examined the end of Sarah's life. And now we're going to go to the end of the parsha. And we are going to see the transfer of matriarchal power from Sarah to Rivka. So first, this is the Baal HaTorim again, the son of the Rosh that we saw before. He has a comment on Vayu Chaye Sarah. These are the years of Sarah. Kativ Le'el Mine, it's written above, U'Bituel Yaladet Rivka. We learned at the end of last week's Parsha that Bituel gave birth, he sired Rivka. Ad Shelo Shak'a Shimsha Shal Sarah, Zarcha Shimsha Shal Rivka. So before Sarah's sun had set, Rivka's sun had begun to shine. This is like a concept in Judaism with Jewish leadership, that one ruler can't leave until another ruler is in place to replace him or her. Vizeu Sara Me'ashana, and this is Sara Me'ashana. Okay, these three words, Sara Me'ashana, Roshe Tevot Shemesh. So you have the Shin and the Mem and the Shin. Vizehu vizarach hashemesh uvo hashemesh. And this is a famous pasuk from Kohelet. Sun shines and the sun sets. So we see Sarah's sun setting, but we already know from the end of Vayera that Rivka's sun is rising. Okay, so now to the end of our parsha, almost the end. Vayivieha Yitzchak ha'ohala Sarah imo, vayikach et Rivka vathilo li'isha, Vayaveha v'yinachem Yitzchak acharei imo. So this is a very confusing pasuk when you look at the details of it. So Yitzchak brought him to her tent. Sarah, his mother. You see how the translation tried to make it readable? And Isaac brought her to the tent of Sarah, his mother, but that's not what it's saying. Isaac brought her to the tent, Sarah, his mother. There's not a connecting thing there. And then he took Rivka, and she became his wife, and then he loved her. One of the extra sources that I included at the end is like a modern-day tshuva by a rabbi discussing the Torah ideal of love, that it comes after marriage, and that people should not date for so long. They should marry earlier. It's very interesting. Okay? And Yitzchak was comforted after his mother. So it's famous Rashi, very famous Rashi, Ha'ola Sara Imo. Vayiviyaha Ha'ola. So he brought her to the tent. V'na'aset Dugmat Sara Imo. And behold, there was a model of Sara, his mother. Klomar V'harehi Sara Imo. That is to say, she was Sara, his mother. Shekolzman Shesara Kayamet. Haya ner daluk mi erev Shabbat le erev Shabbat. So the entire time that Sarah existed, her candle was lit from one Shabbos to the next. Ubracha mitzuya beisa, and there was a bracha in her dough. The anan kashur al haohel, and there was a cloud connected to the tent. Umishameta pasku, but once she died, it was removed. Ukeshabbat Rivka chazru. But once Rivka came, it returned. So Sarah, his mother, because all of these signs that Sarah had brought to the tent were returned with Rivka coming into the tent. And that's why it says Sarah, his mother. Okay, now you'll see I titled this section Chana, Rosh Tevot. That's for Chala, Nida, and Hadlakat Ner. Okay, so you can see how those three things that were associated with Sarah and Rivka's tent are the three women's mitzvah, which spell the name Chana. So here is the explanation of Rabbi Yavadia Mibar Tanura, and he is a super commentary on Rashi. So he's commenting on the Rashi that we just read. And he says, Ha'ohala Sara Imo, to the tent Sara, his mother, Shekolzman Shesara Kayamet Haya Ner Daluk Me'erev Shabbat Le'erev Shabbat Ubracha Mitzuya Be'isa Ve'anan Kashur Al Ohel. So he's quoting the Rashi of the three things that were present in the tent. Yeshomar Lefisha Ha'isha Mitzuva Al Gimel Dvarim. So we can say that since the woman is commanded on three things, Nida, Chala, Hadlakat Haner, Ulefisha Sara Haitaz Riza Bishloshtan, and since Sarah had alacrity for these three, Hayu Ela Hagimel Devrim, Mida Keneged Mida. These three things were, how do you translate Mida Keneged Mida?
Measure for measure.
Thank you, measure for measure. Klapi Shaita Zahira, since she was careful, Behadlakata Ner and candlelighting, Haya Ner Daluk, Mir Shabbat Ler of Shabbat. Her candle stayed lit from Shabbos to Shabbos. Since she was careful in making and taking the separating the dough, she had a bracha found in her dough. And since she was careful in the laws of Tarat Mishvacha of the mikvah, there was a cloud connected to her tent, the cloud signifying Hashem's presence. She ohel lashon tashmish. Because we have this sense, ohel, the word tent represents a lot of different things. It could represent learning Torah, so you're probably more commonly known. But he's saying here, it can also represent marital relations. Kida amar shuvu lachem la'ohaleichem. As it says, this is in Devarim, Parshat Ve'etchanan, after the repetition of the Ten Commandments, when God says to Moshe, you stay here with me, but everyone else should go back to their tent. And the explanation is that Moshe needed to remain separated from his wife, whereas everyone else could go back to their normal family relationships. Ukeshemeta Sara, and when Sara died, lo haita shum isha zehira b'dvarim halalu. There were no women who were careful in these things. Upasku, and they stopped. Ukeshabat Rivka, shegam hi haita zehira b'shloshtan chazru. But when Rivka came, and she was also careful in these three, that's when they returned. Okay, now the Al-Sheikh is going to expand on this idea of the three things representing the three mitzvot of women. Ach hine yadanu mechochmei ha'emet, ki Avram v'Sara ba'u l'taken et asher avtu Adam v'chava. Sorry. And we know from Kabbalah that Avram and Sarah came to fix that which Adam and Chava had made crooked. V'chein nir'a midivrei rabotenu zal. And it also seems from the words of our rabbis, be'omram v'bereshit rabba, what we learn in the Midrash, lama lo nivra Avraham t'chila, why wasn't Avraham created in the beginning? Mipnei shema shel kelkel Adam, ba Avraham v'tiken. That which man destroyed, Avram came and he fixed. V'im haya nivra hu tchila, mi yetaken acharav. And if Avram had been created first, who would then be there to fix it after that? Hine ki letaken ba Avraham. So therefore, Avram came to fix. V'hu ki Adam v'chava heviu mita le'olam. And this is because Adam and Chava brought death to the world. V'Avram v'Sara heviu chayim le'olam. Avram and Sarah brought life to the world. Elu garmuch klala ve'ele nivrachu becha. These brought curses, and these brought blessings to everybody. And he's quoting one of the psukim where Hashem says, they'll all be blessed from you. Adam silek shchina al harakia. Adam caused the removal of the shchina. Ve'Avram v'Sara horiduha mirakia shvi'i. And Avram and Sarah brought down the shchina from the highest heavens. Kemamaram zal bebreshit rabba. So he's quoting a midrash in Breshit Rabba. Elu kalkalu hanefesh ve'elu asu hanefesh. Those destroyed the soul, and these made souls. If you remember from, I think we did it in Lech Lecha, that they created souls. They were the converts. Shenamar ve'ata nefesh asher asu becharan. As it says in the pasuk, and the souls that they made in Charan. Elu achlu ve'achilu ma shemevi mita l'olam. These ate and caused to eat that which brought death to the world. Ve'elu achlu ve'achilu ma shemevi chayim l'olam. These ate and caused others to eat that which brought life to the world. Ki ayde ma shehaya ma'achil v'gomel chesed nitkayam ha'olam. Because that which they fed other people, says that Avram planted an eshel, which they say was an inn where he would feed people and teach people to appreciate that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they upheld the world. Kamo shamru zal, like the rabbis say in Shmot Rabba, in the Midrash, ki mishlosha devarim she'olam omed aleihem, three things caused the world to stand on them. B'tchila haya omed al amud echad. In the beginning, the world only endured or stood on one pillar, hu gemilut chasadim shel Avraham. And this was the chesed of Avraham. V'chein Chava heitil ba nachash zuama. So Chava took the disgusting snake. V'sara nilkacha shnei pa'amim v'nishmera leval yutolba. And Sarah was taken twice, once by Paro, once by Avimelech, and she guarded so that she would not be taken. Any zuhama, any disgustingness. Ubeze matzanu ra'inu ta'am al hevi hu yitbarach et Sara benisayon hahu. And this is, now we understand why Hashem made this test for Avram. Ki tzara gedola haitala, she had great trouble. Achu l'taken kikolei chava. So the reason why Sarah had to go through this, of being taken by both Paro and Avimelech, was to fix the destruction of Chava. V'gam Rivka hutzrecha l'taken bimkoma. Rivka also needed to fix in her place. Ki adayin lo nigmar hatikun, because the fixing was not complete. V'hu ki kol shloshet ha'avot yesh lehem shaychut im adam kenoda liyod im chen. Because all of the three fathers, they have some connection with Adam, the first man, like those who know Kabbalah, which I don't know, so I don't know what it's talking about. V'gam shlosha devarim shekilkala chava, she'alkein nitzdavu hanashim benida v'chala v'had lekatner, nitken ayidei Sara. And also the three things that Chava destroyed, it's because of this that the women are commanded in nida, chala, and candlelighting, and this was fixed by way of Sara. She'alkein amru zal, and this is why the rabbi said, she'aita isat Sara mitbarachet, that the dough of Sara was blessed, shehu bli safek al devar hachala, this is because of the chala, v'ner daluk mi'erv shabbat le'erv shabbat al devar ner, the fact that her candle stayed lit was on the candle, v'anan kashur al petach ha'ohel, al pitchei nida, she'aita tehora mehen. So the cloud is connected with nida, that she was tehora, pure. V'nichnasa bimkoma rivka bibrachot ele, kemifarash b'inyan omro, v'yaviyahu yitzchak ha'ohel. And in her place came Rivka with these brachot, as we learned in our pasuk. Okay, so we have two sources. that associate each of these three things to the three special mitzvot of women. And the Alshich expands on that to tell us how each of these three things fix the sin of Chava. So when women are engaged in those things, we're constantly engaged in fixing that sin. Okay, so now we're going to do something a little strange. I am going to show you all of the parshas of Sefer Shmot. We're not there yet, okay? But we're going to look at it. Okay, so we have Shmot Va'era Bo B'Shalach. That is as the Jewish people go into slavery and they come out of slavery. B'Shalach is the splitting of the sea, landing at the mountain at Har Sinai. Yitro, of course, is the Ten Commandments. Mishpatim is civil laws, a lot of different laws. And then we have Truma Tetzave Kitisa Vayaka Pakude, which deal, with the exception of the golden calf, deal completely with the Mishkan. There's a question that a lot of commentaries ask. How are all of these parshas unified into one book? The book of Exodus. Exodus is also a weird name. Exodus happens in chapter 12, and it's 40 chapters. So what unifies this book? And all of the things with the Mishkan and the Kohen Gadol, wouldn't those fit better in Vayikra? It's talking about the service in the Mishkan. So what unifies them all? So the Ramban has a very nice explanation, and I am going to take issue with some of his language. Okay? V'hine hagalut einenu nishlam. Oh, I didn't include something. Okay, I have to connect the dots for you. It is one of the sources at the end. So the Shem Mishmuel takes this idea a step further of the three things represented in three women's mitzvot. And he says that they are represented in the Mishkan and later the Beit HaMikdash. So the candles being lit week for week, the menorah. The challah having a bracha in it, staying fresh from week to week. The lechem hapanim, the showbread that stayed fresh for over a week even. And the cloud being connected, Hashem's presence, which was present in the first Beis HaMikdash, but not the second. Okay? I should have included that. So now we're going to see the Ramban and how he connects all of Sefer Shmot. V'hine ha-galut einenu nishlam ad yom shuvam al mikomam. So the galut, the exile, he explains earlier in his introduction to Shmot, that just because they left Egypt doesn't mean that they had ge'ula, that they were redeemed. Because once they're out of Egypt, they don't know where they're going. So they don't have true, they don't end their exile until they've returned to their place, the El Ma'alat Avotam Yeshuvu, and they go back to the level of their fathers. U'kesheyatzu mi'mitzrayim, af al pi sheyatzu mi'beit avadim, when they left Egypt, even though they left the house of bondage, adayin yechashvu golim, they're still considered as exiled. Ki hayu be'eretz lo lehem, they were still in the land not their own, Nivuchim b'midbar, confused and lost, perplexed, that's how we translate Nivuchim, in the wilderness. U'keshebau el har Sinai, v'asu ha-mishkan, when they came to Mount Sinai, and they made the Mishkan, v'shav ha-kadosh baruch hu, v'hishra shchinato b'neihem, and Hashem returned, and he made his shchina, his divine presence, reside among them, as shavu el ma'alot avotam. Then they returned to the level of their forefathers. Shaya sod eloka alai ohalehem. This is a quote from Job, in the book of Job. Oh, I didn't even include it here. Okay, so what's my issue with the Ramban? Based on everything we learned, they did not return to the ma'alot avotam, the level of their forefathers. They returned lema'alot imotehem, their four mothers. All of this was established with Sarah and then following her, Rivka, in their tent. We saw all of the holiness that they brought to the Jewish people. And this was the level that we reached at the end of the book of Shmot to show that we were truly redeemed from our exile. And that is in the merit of the four mothers. So that's my issue with the Ramban. And if you have five more, oh, go ahead.
Is that because of the fact that, like, the women were the ones that were more spiritual? They throughout the whole time that they were leaving, and even while they were in Mitzrayim, they were the ones that kept on doing everything.
Yeah, you could totally relate it to that. That it's in the merit of the righteous women that we were redeemed. Absolutely, b'zchut nashim tzadkaniyot shebador, the merit of those women in the generation. Okay, so now we're going to take it one level deeper. So this is the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. This is, if you're in shul Friday night, this is when everyone either talks to their neighbor when they're supposed to be mumbling this chapter of Mishnah, of Masechet Shabbos. So it says something kind of crazy. Ashlosh avirot nashim metot b'sha'ad leidatan al she'enan zehirut benida u'b'chala b'hadakat haner. So there are three sins that women die in childbirth, and it's those who are not careful in nida, chala, and candlelighting, our three mitzvot. So here we have a quotation from Esther. So this parak of Tehillim, Kaf Bet, is attributed to Esther, because it says, L'menatzeach al ayelet ha-shachar. Esther's called ayelet ha-shachar, which is the first rays of dawn. And it says, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my salvation and from the words of my moaning. Upon you I was cast from birth, from my mother's word, womb, you are my God. So the Midrash asks, why does it say, Keli, my God, three times? Amra Esther, Esther said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, ruler of the world, Shalosh Mitzvot Natatali, you gave me three mitzvot, Nida, Chala, and candlelighting. Afal pi she'ani bebayit rasha zeh, even though I'm in this wicked man's house, klum avarti al echad meham. I have not transgressed against any of them. Okay? Now, why did I include Esther? So back to the very beginning. There is a list of seven prophetesses. You're probably familiar with it in Masechet Megillah. The first one is Sarah, and the last one is Esther. As we've learned, hopefully, you've come away with this in the past few weeks. Sarah was not the first prophetess of the Jewish people. I would argue she was the first prophet. We don't have to differentiate between men and women here. She was the first one to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who is the last? Esther. And not only that, but... Oh, I'm going to find it, even though I didn't prepare it. I apologize. I just want you to see it. Esther becomes the queen of what? Of 127 provinces. And not only that, but it forms a beautiful chiastic structure. So chiastic structure is A, B, C, C, B, A. So before we had 120 and 7, and now we have 7 and 20 and 100. So we go from Sarah to Esther, and the special role of women in all of Jewish history, and the special role of these three mitzvot that were started with Sarah and continued through Rivka and through all the women of Jewish history, and Chaim, your wife, and your daughter, and your daughters-in-law, and all the rest of us who are here today. So hopefully we will now all find even more special meaning in these mitzvot and in our connection to the imahot and everything that Sarah contributed to the world. Thank you.